WildTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flat with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and we're not near SummerSlam yet, but you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketStock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Pirates of the Caribbean. Metallica, Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, and probably Fall Guys, and all the other things, because hashtag epic partner. Anyway, I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Oh, can I be a Fall Guy?
No.
But I want to be a Fall Guy.
We'll play Fall
Guys. I'm kind of jelly bean shaped, so it might work.
Might work. Maybe we'll play Fall Guys on stream the next for a game night.
I mean, I could play Fall Night. Fall Guys. I'll play
Fall Guys on stream. I mean that would be fun. Fall Guys. She's not saying anything so in chat, so she's probably not hearing us anyhow. Anyway.
So that means yes. That means she did not say no, so therefore that's a yes.
This is true.
She has to say no.
She hasn't said no. I reinstalled Genshin, and I uninstalled it already. So I've already done that part. So I've already done the reinstall and uninstall part. So checkmate. Anyway, we also have the one and only Tim Stein. Maybe. There we go.
There it is.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm here. Having issues with the mic again. I don't want to hear about it because I just don't have time to do anything to fix it. I'm too damn busy.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Not a whole hell of a lot currently happening, so we're just going to, you know, talk about a few different things tonight and have a light night and have a little bit of fun. Sound good?
It does sound good, but yeah. So Matt in chat thought it was SummerSlam. No, that's next week.
That's next
the
week,
preview.
Matt.
Next week's the preview. You're 1 week early. Even though it feels like a month early for SummerSlam, it's 2 weeks away.
So, Rock, does that mean a week from this upcoming Saturday?
We're live with the... We're not having CB because the Rack will be live covering SummerSlam that night. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how
you and Lindsay have a good night.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to talk SummerSlam.
Because I'll talk about it on Sunday.
You're going to talk about it on Sunday.
Just to kick everything off, I do have one question for the intern.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, this is a huge, massive question. I need you to tell me what your favorite The Rock movie is.
Oh, there's just so many, you know.
You can only pick one.
This Canadian is showing.
Oh, boy, there. Don't you know.
Don't you know? That's more like Wisconsin, eh? Or maybe Minnesota.
I don't know. It could be Eastern Canada, or maybe, you know.
No.
I don't know. Have you heard Letterkenny? They talk a little bit like this.
No, trust me. I've been watching Letterkenny. They don't talk like that. Figure it out. Get your finger out your ass.
I don't know. Jared kind of talks like this.
To be fair.
He kind of has that Midwestern thing.
Yeah, to be fair. I only did that because Rock said that you're not allowed to... he vetoed your idea.
By the way, my favorite The Rock movie is Free Guy. He was in it. At least his voice.
His voice was in it.
And anyway. Anyway, before we get into what Tim wants to talk about tonight, I want Brent's take on Collision last night.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay. I understand this was a cost-cutting move. I understand, hey, we have this, was it, residency in Arlington, Texas. By the way, hook 'em, go, yay. It looked like WCW Saturday Night, in my opinion. Or when they shot the camera up the, you know, from the, through the ring up the ramp, it looked like TNA circa, what was it, 2018? 2017, whenever John Morrison and Austin Aries were fighting there, when the ramp was like straight on and at the height of the ring, it looked very indie. Now, I get it. They were sold out. That was great, but it felt very small. Like Rock was pointing out the fact of you'd hear the crowd and it's like someone would say something and there was just this deafening pause and then, it was bad. It was bad.
Holy shit.
But they debuted a new person, Tim. Hologram.
Yeah, I saw that.
He looked like every other Lucha wrestler they've signed. He had the same moveset. It was like they hit copy with Create a Wrestler in WWE 2K. Yeah. I mean, when most people see his entrance and their first reaction is, oh, they're doing Glacier.
Thank you. That was the name I was trying to remember.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing. Guess who's on the creative staff now as a producer?
Glacier.
For AEW. Glacier.
Hey, let's give somebody my gimmick and update it. Okay, sounds good to me.
Well, his whole thing, like, I understand he's a work in progress, but his entire debut slash entrance was the fact he had a light-up vest.
Yeah.
And then you've got Blood and Guts coming up Wednesday, which really feels like a bit of a step back from the Anarchy in the Arena that they just had. Like, at least with Anarchy in the Arena, you had FTR, Darby Allin, and Daniel Bryan. Like, ooh, okay. Four pretty big talents. Now you have Mark Briscoe, who is the world champion of your secondary brand. And yes, ROH is secondary. I'm sorry, no one's going to convince me otherwise. Swerve Strickland, your world champion, who's not even like the captain of that team. He's just kind of there, which tells you all you need to know about his reign so far. Darby Allin is back, and he's basically said he wants to die in Blood and Guts, so that lets you know all you need to know about him. And then the Acclaimed. This feels like a step back.
But it's for control of AEW, right?
No! It's not. It's just the fact of they're fighting. It's not for control of anything.
But that was the whole part of the feud, right?
No, but they have all the gold. So if they lose here, what's the problem? Because they have all the championships.
So it's a pointless match with no real stipulation or heat or anything?
Exactly! Welcome to AEW!
But it's for pride about AEW. That's what it's about. Pride.
And then AEW on Friday has their Death Before Dishonor or pay-per-view.
ROH.
And yes, that one is a pay-per-view, I believe.
ROH.
Which has a whole whopping 4 matches announced for it.
Yeah.
So either they're going to add a bunch of stuff in the next 2 days, which if people don't give them shit for just, you know, last-minute booking this, then I call hypocrisy. Or they run a smaller show, which is fine, but your four matches feel kind of lacking. But I guess we'll see. We'll see on Friday.
Indeed. So you feel good now? You got that off your chest? It's feel cathartic just to let it out?
Yeah, you feeling better?
Are you didn't forget anything about Collision? Oh, wait, I forgot one thing, Rock.
What's that? Damn. What's that, Brent?
Hello?
Can you not hear me?
Hey, Brent, can you hear me?
He can't hear us, apparently.
What the heck did you do, Brent? Brent, you broke it.
So anyway, as we're waiting for Brent, like he was ranting, responding, and then he just... We lost Brent. And there he goes. We lost Brent. Maybe...
Well,
wait.
He's back, so maybe that'll work.
Maybe he's back now. Can he hear us?
Hello, Brent. Plug in your speakers, you ding-dong.
Hello?
There you go.
Can you hear us? I don't think he can hear us. We can hear him. So that's great. So what we're going to do, I'm going to put us to commercial. We're going to try to get Brent back.
We're going to do a commercial. Oh, my God.
On this show, it's been a minute. But you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. We're going to try to find Brent. So we're back in like 3 minutes, hopefully.
This television has a poison on its breath. This counterculture of both wicked lies and death. It makes my eyes bleed every time I turn around. How will they all feel when I bring them to the ground?
Did you know that you can use support a creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner. Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Thursday nights. It is the experience known as the Rack.
Hey, we love to say boobs.
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, Sue.
We need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have a thumbs up on boobs or a thumbs down.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices, people here, is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me.
Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to the Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Audio, gotta love it. Welcome back to WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTRLive. As we were trying to mention to Brent, you feel cathartic now, Brent?
No, now I'm all worked up because my goddamn headset. But yes, kind of.
Kind of. You got it off your chest. Anything else you needed to get off your chest before we moved on to whatever Tim was wanting to talk about?
AEW needs to work on their production issues because having arena microphones working while someone's trying to talk backstage doesn't work well. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear anything Lance Archer slash Hoyt slash whatever the hell his name is now said. And then also, when someone gets injured, don't keep the camera on them during a picture-in-picture. Just go to full screen and let them work on the poor girl, for God's sake. Hope that Sky Blue heals quickly from her ankle injury, but... Yeah, it wasn't good when Karrueshita takes her down and then spends like 4 minutes walking around posing on the corner post for all of it. And then you just see the referee tell her, go up the ramp. Go. Match is over. All on picture in picture. So you couldn't hear anything and you just had to watch this inane thing take place. Now I feel fully cathartic.
Now I feel better. It's your rant of the week.
Yes, I feel better now.
Okay. All right. So, Tim... You have some topics you wanted to get into tonight.
Yeah, I came up with a couple of ideas.
Oh, where do you want to start with them?
Well, I was just thinking about it over the past week. Let's talk about the popularity of pro wrestling as a whole. Now, the industry has seen nothing before or since like what we saw basically during the Monday Night Wars in the Attitude Era, right? Would you agree? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, viewership was off the charts. And I, for one, I'd watch Raw live and then the replay on the same night. And, you know, on Canadian programming, we had WCW tape on Tuesday, like run on Tuesday on the same network. So there was no need to switch back and forth. You watched Raw Monday and you had Nitro on Tuesday night. And then you caught ECW if and when you could find it in Western Canada.
Okay.
And during all of that time, of course, in Calgary, you had Stampede Wrestling was still going strong. And right across Canada, you had some pretty significant big-time indie wrestling promotions. With a big scattering of them all across the United States. And then, of course, when WWE bought WCW and ECW and basically took over all the territories, everything, and it merged into one big, huge thing, it started declining. And it bottomed out. Like, when would you say it actually bottomed out?
Mid-2000s?
I was thinking about that, like right after 2000, like 2006, right through what, 2010, 2011, right?
Maybe 2009, I think.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, things started happening. We witnessed, when was it, 2008, when TNA tried to go head-to-head with WWE?
2010.
Things started... kicking on the upswing. I mean, that was an absolute abject, miserable failure.
I think it was 2010, right? Yeah.
2010. Yeah, the first show was January 4th, 2010.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we remember that one. We remember that one.
Yep.
Now, it was an absolute utter failure for TNA, and it didn't really help them any at all. But wrestling, at least in North America, seemed to start regaining interest because of that, I think. Brent?
I would say people started gaining interest again once, like, around 2009. I would say before the move to Monday Night, because people were intrigued with TNA. It gave you that second option to watch. It wasn't a big scale, but at least gave you something else to watch aside from WWE. When they went to Monday Night, it killed it. They never fully recovered from that. Good job,
well,
Bischoff.
They kept doing
Hogan.
Dumber. Yeah, but they kept doing dumber and dumber things.
Well, it wasn't just dumber and dumber. It was just the fact of you pulled all of your resources to compete against the juggernaut, and people were watching that primarily. So you were killing your fan base because you were like, you have to choose. And the people went, okay, we're going to choose the stuff that has good production.
The better production value, the slicker package.
And better stories and everything.
and slightly better stories and such. Yeah. But now when I say it started on the uptick, indie promotions in North America closed down and went away. And then they started coming back. And I was involved in that a few years later.
Yeah, later on.
What's that?
Later on, like in the 2014, 15?
Well, I think my first shows were 2011, Rock.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Time flies.
2011, we first went, then we went on a minor hiatus to rejig things and came back in 2012.
Okay.
And ran until 2013 when I got screwed over by my business partner. Otherwise, we'd probably still be running shows.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there was a wrestling promotion that would, that, you know, wound up doing one day a month out of coming down from Edmonton in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had PWA doing one show a month in Calgary. So all of a sudden, 3 weeks out of 3 weeks out of every four, you had wrestling in Calgary. At the height of Stampede Wrestling, you only had them, but they were every single Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. So at one point in time, three separate shows running in the city, all of them were drawing crowds and making money. And some of them were using some of the same talent, so there was overlap there. But I noticed that it started, I don't want this taken the wrong way, because I am not laying any kind of claim at all whatsoever on behalf of Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We had nothing to do with it. We were just caught up and as part of it. But right around 2011 and stuff, it started back on the uptick with the indies. WWE was going strong. TNA never really went anywhere. They kept running shows. They just lost their TV deal and then changed their name to Impact. But as the years progressed up until now, 2024, it just seems like more and more and more and more wrestling has made a comeback to where we are today. Impact Wrestling has gone back to TNA. They're drawing crowds. They're drawing eyeballs to their TV. And they got small deals here and there.
Let's not go that far. They're drawing eyeballs to TV. They're drawing social eyeballs on social media. Let's not go far on TV.
They're drawing a few eyeballs to televised product.
Do we even know what channel they're on?
Fight Network in Canada. Now, it's not a huge thing, and it's as far as indie goes, I would consider TNA probably, an indie, regional indie thing, but at the top of that particular heap.
I wouldn't say they're indie, because they're not, one, they're not regional.
The allegory in the comparison.
I would say they're here in the States. They do better on a social platform than they do on television, because the reach of access is not the best. It's more
now,
a time filler at that point.
Here's my question to you, Rock. Do you think Impact would benefit from like what NWA had of broadcasting their stuff on YouTube.
No, because they do, and it didn't work out.
Okay. Well, I only ask because, I mean, we've all seen what happens with, we've seen what happened with NWA, and they moved to a mobile-only platform, no, and because, that has killed it.
Yeah. No, they were streaming, like, if you were a YouTube member or whatever, the subscription thing was, Impact would air a half hour later. Like, it would start on a half hour delay on YouTube.
Mm. Oh, that's right, because then you also got, like, the gaming streams that they did and whatever.
Yeah, and now they still have an internet service where you can watch shows and everything like that. YouTube membership or something like that. Or it's not even on YouTube. It's through Endeavor's streaming service. They have a whole platform, TNA Plus, that you can watch their content on. But no, to go back to the whole point of the whole thing, a lot had to do with AAW. Bringing wrestling back a little bit. Bringing competition back. Tim. And it kind of drew the rise, and indies have benefited from it. WWE releasing talent has helped benefit TNA. It's helped benefit the indies. And you've had people, hard workers like Matt Cardona, go out there and try to make a name for himself on the indies. And it's given the rise for what, GCW?
Yeah.
Has sort of become a prominent. PWG has kind of went out the window since AEW really became a thing, and the pandemic kind of killed them. But
well, and also it pulled the fact of, I mean, PWG was essentially the Young Bucks promotion.
Yeah, them and Excalibur, yeah.
Right, and so with that, it pulled their attention away, which has kind of undercut the entire thing.
Yeah, so there's more interest out there in wrestling because of it. Is it drawing more viewership? No, but there's more interest. And you look at WWE's box office, their numbers are the best it's been in years. Sellouts.
Since Attitude.
I wouldn't say since Attitude. I would say...
All right, Ruthless Aggression.
Early tens, I would say. I'd say past that. Early tens, they were still doing good numbers. But there's the crowds are selling out or close to sellouts. They're running bigger buildings. They're running. They're using smaller sets to get more people into buildings. The tickets are hotter.
And I think that there is a difference here to denote as well between the overall interest in wrestling, you know, as an entity. So like the rise of the re-rise of the indies, and you know the reach of that. But I also think there's another component, which is the overall integration of wrestling into like the public zeitgeist. And it hit like an apex during the Attitude Era with, you know, everyone and their mother wearing, you know, either DX or Austin 316 shirts. But you've also seen throughout this entire time, you know, wrestling has permeated the popular culture. When you saw people, you know, doing the Ric Flair woo as part of sports. And I mean, that dates back to what, 05, 06 even, if not a little earlier?
What I would say 90s too, they were doing it.
They were doing it a little bit, but I would say probably about mid-2000s is when it really kind of picked up with that. And then like the yes chants that would take place at sporting events. And it was one of those things, like, it was a cool, like, crowd participation thing, but most people may not have understood what's going on, but it still overtook what happened in wrestling. And then you started to have the kind of integrations. I mean, you had your Raw general managers for a while, but you've really kind of had this integration of pop culture and wrestling, even back to the days of, you know, early 80s with Cyndi Lauper being used and the kind of rock and wrestling taking hold that we see with people like Bad Bunny and Stephen Amell and Logan Paul even. So as much as wrestling has kind of grown within itself back into a pretty good place from the Attitude Era, I think it's been, I don't think it ever kind of declined from the pop culture. I think it's just, it changed a little bit how it was done. And honestly, some of that was places like WWE becoming more family friendly with what happened and allowing places to go, oh, okay, we can lend people to this. We can advertise on this. We can turn it into a bigger deal. That's one of the big problems with things like GCW and to somewhat of an extent, AEW. They're limiting themselves with things like language, with presentation that doesn't allow as much of a reach as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But on a whole, Yeah, I'd say probably even pop culture-wise, wrestling has hit kind of a new renaissance in terms of integration within the larger culture.
And one of the things Tim put in the thing was, is it as popular as late 90s or close? No. And I wouldn't even say it's close.
It's a different thing now.
Yeah.
It's more spread out nowadays.
Well, back with the 90s and early 2000s, it was the culture itself gravitated to it because of the big storyline of Austin McMahon. You had a lot of people that were going through stuff with work and, you know, economy, where it's like, yeah, you wanted to say F the boss. And this gave you that perfect thing of like, Austin speaks for the people, he's going to do this. And then, you know, you had The Rock, who was entertaining as all hell, but then sometimes would go corporate, and then Austin would go corporate and whatever. So it gave people like interest in what's going on. I would say today things have shifted. You don't have people as much invested in that, but I would say I know more people that will mention, it's like, yeah, I actually have watched wrestling recently. And it's like, I kind of turn for a second because, no offense, for a while, it's like, sometimes when you mention wrestling, it's like, oh, it was that, it might be that thing that you don't necessarily bring up, but you just did. Like, you know, but nowadays you have people that are just like, oh yeah, no, I watched Raw last night. It was actually kind of interesting. And you kind of like, wait, really? Okay, cool.
So it will probably never reach the same heights it was during the Monday Night Wars, during the Attitude Era, all of that stuff. I mean, that was driven by the tastes and attitudes of Generation X, really. The fuck around and find out, don't give a fuck generation.
Yeah.
Well, the original slackers.
It's that, and it's honestly, nowadays you have many more options to choose from that you didn't have before, and accessibility to things. You know, you may not be able to have watched as much sports as you wanted to, and nowadays you can just, you know, even with a basic package, you could find almost like any hockey game, any basketball game, any football game you want to watch. Yeah.
Well, you're touching on exactly where I was going. Back in 1998, how many TV stations, how many television channels did we have? It was a one solid cable package. You didn't have all of these fancy tiers and stuff. You had like 64 channels of shit to choose from. And in the early 90s, Bruce Springsteen had a song out, 64 channels and nothing on. Nowadays, how many channels are available for the average person to watch?
Hundreds plus streaming.
I was going to say, I wouldn't even call it channels. Hell, look at the WWE's media package now. You're going to have access to CW, so regular broadcast television, or at least very, very basic cable.
There's no such thing as broadcast television.
No, it is. That is a broadcast channel.
That's digital. Yeah, it's digital broadcast, but
yeah, it's still broadcast. You can get it with an antenna and still. It's broadcast television.
So there's that. USA is going to have SmackDown, right, Rock?
USA has SmackDown, yeah.
And then you're going to need Netflix to watch Raw.
Yes.
Which is a completely different thing aside from cable itself. So you're going to have to be able to get that. And then come 2026, the stuff will move to Netflix probably off of Peacock.
Who knows? That's to be determined.
Possibly. But I mean, internationally, it's already moving to
You're going to need Peacock for the premium live events. So that's a fourth service. Netflix internationally, everything's going to be on there, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. Netflix is going to have it all in 80% of the world.
Now, here's my question with WWE moving all their product onto Netflix. With the lack of need for censorship and all that other stuff, are they going to edge up the product?
No, they're not going to edge up the product. But if a fan chants, holy shit,
they won't bleep it.
They won't bleep it.
Are we going to get wrestlers swearing?
You already kind of do a little bit.
No, I'm talking about like the hardcore, you know, fuck you.
No. Because
that's going to hurt their image.
I'm not talking about kiss my candy ass or whatever.
No, because
like The Rock comes out and says.
Because advertising is still a thing. Sponsorships are still a thing. Will it get
Social
a little bit?
Media is yeah. still a thing.
Will you get a little bit? You may say ass a few more times. Yes,
bitch.
Yeah, but it which won't be censored. But if
so
you're saying
for the average viewer thinking, well, now that they're going to Netflix, maybe we'll see a little bit of risque stuff. Not any more than you are now.
No, what they're going to do is have it. They're not going to be censored in terms of what the crowd says. They'll let it go.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Could you get a little edgier? Yes. But you look at
Canadian television, Canadian TV. They don't censor that. It's too difficult to censor out a crowd chant. It really is. How long did you lose audio on that one episode where Nia Jax came out?
I don't remember. It was a black screen.
Right. Everything blanked out. Right?
Yeah, but the point is
not up in Canada.
Not and on worldwide, it wasn't censored. But
yeah.
The product's not going to change overnight because they still want to make money. They still want to troll advertisers. You look at AEW; every fifth word is shit again, which would lose its effectiveness. And every middle finger that every wrestler shows loses effectiveness. When WWE will do it once every few months,
it's a moment.
It's a moment. It's not. It's not every few weeks. Or
how often did they fuzz out at the height of the Attitude Era, at least on the American broadcast? How often did they fuzz out Steve Austin's middle finger?
Rarely.
I was going to say, in the Attitude Era, they didn't really fuzz it out. It became a later thing in which it would be like, okay, we're not going to show the gesture.
Yeah, it was
in the early 2000s they started doing that.
Yeah, and if it was censored in the Attitude Era, it was when it was taped. Because you had time to do it.
You had time to go over it and gloss it up, clean it up.
And that's where they started learning to tilt the camera a certain way where people would see it, but you wouldn't see the full finger.
It would cut off like at his wrist if he hit it up in the air.
The camera
or the knuckles.
Yeah.
At one point they got so good at it that they were able to stop the camera at the knuckle where you knew he was giving the finger, but you didn't see it.
So when they say you fucked up, we'll hear it. This is the segue. This was the segue, Tim.
That was the segue. Yeah, no, I caught it. That's why I chuckled. Talking fan chants. Does the "you fucked up" chant really belong? How do you feel about that, Brent?
When the fans chant it, it doesn't bother me, only because it's one of those things of like, I mean, stuff's going to happen. We saw it during the women's Money in the Bank. For all intents and purposes, good and bad, that match was a car wreck. As a ladder match, it's supposed to be, but even that, like, there was a couple of spots that we talked about where you're like, ooh.
No. There's car wrecks, and then there's car wrecks.
Right, but it's like, you know, there were some spots that were missed, and the fans sometimes will chant, you fucked up, you fucked up.
Why don't fans at hockey games ever chant "you fucked up" when Connor McDavid misses a breakaway?
It depends on where you go, because there's
Nashville would be the one city, the one NHL city that would come closest to chanting it.
There are some places that they would chant that probably at the goalie after letting a puck in. You fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah, but they don't. NFL. Name a quarterback.
They let booze ring in instead, but
you get the booze instead. Okay, so this is a weird way to say it. In professional sports, are booze the equivalent of professional wrestling's "you fucked up"?
Depends on the situation, but could be.
Like, there's your equivalent, right? You can't really boo in WWE and have it mean the same thing when you boo LeBron James for missing a three-pointer.
Well, and it's also, I think the difference with this is with sports, as much as you can run plays, as much as you can run, set pieces, there is the element of the other person who could possibly alter it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to wrestling and the fans, since they know it is a collaboration between the two wrestlers in the ring, when something, and usually it's not, the "you fucked up" usually doesn't hit for like, oh, my foot may have slipped off of this one rope. It's usually when it's something very blatant between two people and it's like the entire spot is blown.
You missed a drop kick completely, but the other person still sells it like they were hit by a ton of bricks.
Kind of like that. One example I would give where in my opinion, it could have been justified in a sense, was when, was it Tongaloa tried to do the uppercut to Kevin Owens and just whiffed on the first one.
Completely.
So then he had to, like, get closer and do it again. It's like, if it's, like, completely whiff on the first thing, that's when it can be like, oh, you fucked that up. Because you know what's supposed to happen. Everyone can see it, and you know you messed up in that situation.
Would you consider that fan chant to be the most annoying thing a wrestler could hear from the crowd?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. There is one chant.
I'm waiting for it. I figured you'd have an answer to this.
Rock knows what I'm going to say.
Well, he's on mute, so go ahead.
Okay. And it's one that you've joked about on this broadcast a couple of times.
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
That is the most annoying chant in wrestling.
Yeah,
hands
no,
down.
I'm talking about, this is next to impossible for you to answer. I'm talking about for the wrestler to hear, to hear.
I think for the wrestler especially, it's bad because you're trying to cut a promo.
And everybody goes back to the Stone Cold chant.
And everyone goes into it. And I mean, you've had a couple of people, especially in the past, I would say 5 to 7 years. Alexa Bliss is really good at it. When they start to do the what, she has a quip to throw it out there and just shut them up. But it gets to the point where it's like, you have to kind of have something ready, because if you don't, they just keep going and they keep going. And it's annoying as hell, not just for the wrestlers, but for everyone involved. But I would say, especially the wrestler, because you're like, I'm supposed to be trying to do this. And the what chant is hijacking the moment.
Okay, this is a spoiler for Casey. Because when he comes back next week, and Brent, remember in case I forget.
I will try.
Of the two chants, because he's a professional wrestler, my buddy. We're going to ask him to pick between the two chants. Yes, Casey, I know you're listening to the archive on the podcast, so that's why I call this spoiler. Spoiler alert. We're going to ask you, Casey. Which of the two chants would you rather not hear as a pro wrestler? What? 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 Or, you fucked up! You fucked up! You fucked up! Because, having been in the business, not as a wrestler, but as the promoter, as the guy writing the show, as the guy in the gorilla position.
I would rather
have the fans have fun with chants like what or anything like that and not hear them tell my wrestlers they fucked up when a wrestler misses a move.
See,
would you like to know the actual answer?
Go for it.
No chant at all.
That is actually the worst one.
The worst thing is nothing. No response.
Yep.
But
that's
one
thing that a lot of fans don't understand when they absolutely hate somebody big time, and you get what we used to call X-Pac heat, which is a really, really, really bad term in professional wrestling for the workers and people, the people running it and stuff like that. That is just one of the worst things they could hear from somebody. X-Pac heat.
Well, and I would say when it comes to the you fucked up, if you just keep rolling, you're going to hit the next move and people are going to kind of go, ooh, okay.
Which would lead, like if it's a spectacular one, what chant will that lead to, Brent?
It could be the, oh my God, or, this is awesome.
Holy shit.
Or holy shit. Something like that, where it's like you can easily.
Hang on, we walked right over Rock. What were you saying, Rock?
This is awesome.
Yeah, this is awesome. Holy shit.
And that could easily kill the, you fucked up, because people will chant that as long as there's nothing going on. As soon as you hit the next move, it's like, oh, okay, never mind.
Which one of those two is the best chant for a pro wrestler to hear in the middle of a match?
I think just general cheer.
You got to pick one or the other. You got to pick this is awesome or holy shit.
Holy shit.
I would say this. I was going to say this is awesome because it means the holy shit is just for that moment. The this is awesome is encapsulating, like, you've done something that throughout the entire match has made people be like, wow.
You and your opponent are entertaining them to that extent. Whereas holy shit, you just pulled off something and nailed it and wowed the crowd.
Yeah, but right? they chant this is awesome at very pointless stuff these days, so it's kind of become Left the
Holy
loop.
Shit, it's a little, because of that, thanks for going there, Rock, because that was the lead, you just let it, for that reason, for me, in my opinion, and again, we're going to grill Casey really quickly next week on these, in my opinion, the holy shit chant means more than this is awesome.
You're blowing their mind rather than, this is awesome. You know,
you just blew their minds. You know, it's exactly what you said, which means that you pulled something high risk or well, yeah, generally, usually there's a high risk that causes the chant, but it generally means that you pulled it off perfectly and wowed the crowd. So yep. I think in a way, fan chants matter, right?
They're important and you're engaging. Chant something, at least something. When you're doing nothing, then you're pretty much ruining the atmosphere for everyone else. Get involved, chant.
Yeah.
Wrestlers rather hear the noise than
how
no
big
noise.
A deal is you deserve it.
It used to be a bigger deal than it was is now.
I've talked to a few wrestlers and I've heard a few others comment that it means absolute sweet fuck all of them.
Now, yeah, back in the day when it was like a rarity thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's everyone does it.
It's like the first few times you've ever heard that, it's like, oh shit, thanks guys. Now it's like watching somebody steal somebody else's finishing move and the person kicks out of it. Okay, well, you've done it so many freaking times over the years, whatever. We're no longer wowed by that. So this is like the reverse. The wrestlers are no longer wowed by you deserve it.
Yeah.
So
it just becomes a thing rather than something special and meaningful.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why you got to be innovative and create new chants.
There you go. So we should think of new chants to chant at wrestling shows. And they don't have to be new chants. They could be chants that haven't been chanted before at a wrestling show.
Five, four, oh, wait.
Tastes great. Less filling. You know, have instead of let's go Cena sucks. Tastes great, less filling.
I mean, you could always just get a beach ball.
Referencing a very old Bud Light commercial. Anyway, does anybody have anything else to add to tonight's little chat fest?
I think we're good.
I think we've done our job, and I don't know if we did good or not, because nobody's chanting right now in the chat room, so that hurts. But that being said, I think we're done for tonight, but the new week kicks off tomorrow, Rock.
Tomorrow night, Raw Post Show, live, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And then, of course, Thursday night, aren't you and Lindsay doing something on the Rack?
We'll talk something. I don't know what we're doing yet. We're still figuring that part out. But it's Rack Live, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Speaking of the Rack, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews. EA Sports presents College Football 25, now available. Wherever you look at your podcast, just search Rack Radio Show. Full review of the brand new college football game that's been the first time in over a decade. So check it out.
Yeah, and speaking of Lindsay Ward, thanks, Lindsay, for... Lindsay's actually doing the Steve Austin What chant in the chat room, and she went and ruined it by doing the ooh. So, no ooh, Lindsay. No ooh.
That's why we have an email. No ooh.
So, and then, of course, are you guys doing some more GM shit?
Yes, we're headed to WrestleMania this Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of GM Battles.
Cool. And then on Saturday, you playing golf?
I don't know yet. Played golf this past week. We played one of the previous weeks. We may play Fortnite. We may play Fall Guys.
Okay, note to the producer, there's an L in the word.
Ha ha, we're running the same joke 3 weeks in a row. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, ha, well, you ha, know, eventually ha. you'll learn how to pronounce the word gulp, and you make ha. Fun of us Canadians for saying about it. Anyway.
I mean, Tim, you still need to learn how to pronounce Sasha properly.
Sasha.
Exactly, yeah. But it's game night, 10
p.m.
Eastern.
Yeah, that's the proper pronunciation, Sasha.
Game night, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by Seabird Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night to preview SummerSlam at 10 p.m. Eastern on another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim.
Yes, I'm on social. I'm on X, the former Twitter. You can follow me at Flames Forums.
There you go, Brent.
Well, you can follow me on my socials either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. X, Threads, Insta, all that fun stuff.
There you go. Casey's on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Buy some merch, link in the description. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSocket for an item shop when you buy Pirates of the Caribbean, Metallica, Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, possibly Fall Guys, possibly other Lego collabs, and Eminem, and I don't know. All the things. All because we're a hashtag epic partner. Woohoo! Send us home.
We're done.
Yes.
Everybody have yourselves a great week. And we'll catch you next time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Brent, take us home.
All right, everyone. You don't have to go home. You can't stay here. See ya. And a cherry to a plum. We won't stop rocking till you all get some. The seed to the apple and the apple to the claw. We are the cool with the rhyme galore. The ball to the bounce to the ball. This is the cool, gonna rock you all. WildTalkRadio.com.